A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it starts with a sound I think everyone knows. That wet cardboard slap when an IKEA box hits pavement and just gives up on life. He just finished a brutal move. 3 days of movers, plus all the self-hauling, tiny elevator. Stairs everywhere. And in the middle of it, his boxes fell off a platform trolley and shattered. But the Euro boxes he bought... These industrial-grade polypropylene containers, built to a German automotive standard. They didn't budge, latched together, rigid, stable. They were the unexpected stars of the move. Now he's in the new place, unpacking, and here's the tension. He and his wife are sold on the Eurobox system for good, but they're renting. They're short maybe 10 to 30 boxes, and each one costs 100 to 150 shekels. He needs a temporary storage bridge while he phases in the permanent system over months. What does he use in the meantime?
That shattering sound is the sound of a system failing. And I don't just mean the box. I mean the entire assumption that moving containers should be disposable. You buy cardboard, you use it once, it disintegrates, you buy it again next time. Daniel's moment on the pavement is what happens when that assumption meets reality. But what he's really asking is, how do you transition from that disposable model to an industrial standard reusable system when you can't afford to do it all at once and you're living in a rental?
I think what makes this interesting is that he's not just asking about boxes. He's asking about the logistics of a phased migration. His wife's an architect. She's already designing shelving to the 60-centimeter Eurobox depth. They're planning for a home purchase in 6 to 10 years. So every decision they make now about temporary storage has to be compatible with the permanent system they're building toward. That's the puzzle.
And the Eurobox system. Let's define what we're actually talking about here. It's the VDA 4500 standard, 600 by 400 millimeter footprint. Originally designed for automotive logistics, moving engine blocks and transmission parts through supply chains. These aren't consumer products that got repurposed for home use. They're industrial tools that happen to work brilliantly in a domestic context. The standard comes in a few height variants. The 22-centimeter and 34-centimeter ones Daniel's looking at are the most common for home storage.
The box that can survive a car engine falling on it is what Daniel's using for his camera gear and videography equipment.
It absolutely tracks. And here's the thing about the VDA 4500 standard. It's not just a box size, it's a dimensional language that everything else speaks. Every Eurospec pallet, every industrial shelving unit, every warehouse rack in Europe, and increasingly worldwide, is designed around that 600 by 400 footprint. When Daniel's wife designs shelving to 60 centimeters deep, she's not just accommodating a box. She's plugging their apartment into a global logistics infrastructure. That shelving will accept any Eurobox from any manufacturer forever.
Which is a quietly radical idea for home storage. Most people buy bins that fit the shelf they already own. Daniel and his wife are doing the reverse, designing the shelf to fit the box, and the box to fit a standard that predates both of them and will outlast their next 3 moves.
That's why the cost question is so interesting. 100 to 150 shekels per box feels punishing up front. If Daniel needs 30 boxes at the high end, that's 4,500 shekels just for containers before we even talk about shelving. Compare that to cardboard moving boxes at 5 to 15 shekels each. You could outfit the whole move for a few hundred shekels. The sticker shock is real.
The IKEA boxes that shattered on the pavement? Those weren't free either. And what was inside them when they failed?
That's the hidden cost. Daniel mentioned videography gear. The box cost isn't just the box, it's the risk to whatever's inside. A Eurobox with latches engaged creates a rigid column. You can stack them 6 high on a platform trolley, hit a bump, and nothing shifts. The latches interlock, the rims are reinforced, the polypropylene absorbs impact without cracking. Cardboard does none of that. One drop of water, one sharp corner, one overloaded stack, and it's game over.
I've seen those latches. They're almost comically satisfying. That solid click when they engage. It's the sound of a box that's not going anywhere.
It really is. And that's injection molded polypropylene for you. These things are designed for thousands of cycles in automotive supply chains. They get thrown around by forklifts, stacked in trucks, exposed to temperature swings, and they just keep going. The reason they cost what they cost is that you're buying industrial tooling tolerances, not consumer-grade plastic.
The math Daniel's really doing, and I think this is what he's wrestling with, is upfront costs versus lifetime cost. Cardboard is cheap once, Euroboxes are expensive once, but if he's moving again in 6 to 10 years, he's buying cardboard again. The Euroboxes he buys now are boxes he never buys again.
The break-even is move number 2. If you move once, cardboard wins on pure economics. If you move twice, Euroboxes have already paid for themselves, and that's before you factor in the storage value between moves, the reduced damage risk, and the time saved by not having to source and assemble disposable boxes for every move.
Daniel's in a rental. He knows he's moving at least one more time. The math's already flipped.
But the math flipping doesn't solve the cash flow problem. He's just paid for a move. That's expensive. He's furnishing a new place. He and his wife have a young son. There's no universe where dropping 4,000 shekels on plastic boxes right now is the financially responsible move, even if the lifetime economics are sound. That's the gap he's trying to bridge.
Let's sit with that gap. He's unpacking old cardboard boxes. He doesn't have enough Euroboxes to repack everything. He needs something to hold the overflow for 6 to 12 months while he phases in the permanent system. What does he actually do?
Before we get to solutions, I want to flag one thing Daniel said that I think is crucial. He mentioned getting rid of his beat-up IKEA boxes during the move. That's a clean break. He's not trying to salvage a failing system. He's already committed to the transition. The question isn't, should I switch? It's, how do I bridge the gap while I switch? That's a much better problem to have.
It's the difference between renovating a kitchen while you live in the house versus burning down the house and starting over. He's got the vision, he's got the plan. He just needs a temporary countertop.
His wife, the architect, is already designing for the end state. 60-centimeter depth shelving. Decorative facades with doors in the living room so it doesn't look like a warehouse. Industrial shelving in the home office for the tech and videography gear. They're not guessing. They're building to a spec.
Which means the temporary solution has one hard constraint. It cannot create double handling. Whatever he uses now has to either be disposable after a single use or compatible with the Eurobox system. There's no third option. If he buys cheap plastic bins from the hardware store, they won't stack with Euroboxes, they won't fit the 60-centimeter shelving, and he'll have to repack everything again when he phases in the real boxes. That's the trap.
The hardware store bin trap is real. You walk into a home center or an Ace, you see a 30-shekel plastic bin, you think this is fine for now. But it's not VDA 4500. The footprint is wrong. The stacking lugs don't match. The lid doesn't interlock. A year from now, you've got a pile of mismatched bins that don't work with your shelving, and you're repacking everything anyway. That's not a bridge, that's a detour.
What's the bridge that doesn't become a detour? Daniel floated an idea that sounds almost absurd on its face, buying new cardboard boxes while he's already living in the new place. New moving boxes for storage in an apartment he just moved into.
It sounds absurd, but it's actually not. Here's the logic. Cardboard boxes are cheap, they're standardized enough to stack, and most importantly, they're disposable by design. If Daniel uses cardboard as a temporary container with a strict expiration date, say 30 days, he's not building a permanent system out of cardboard. He's using it as a bridge that he deliberately burns behind him.
The 30-day cardboard box. Mark each one with an unback-by date. If it's still sealed after 30 days, the stuff inside isn't essential and he should seriously consider donating or selling it. That's a forcing function.
The forcing function is the key insight here. Temporary storage without a deadline becomes permanent storage. We've all seen it. The pile of boxes in the corner that's still there 2 years later. Daniel's trying to avoid that. The 30-day rule turns cardboard from a crutch into a tool. It says, this container is temporary, and its temporariness is a feature, not a bug.
He can be strategic about what goes in cardboard versus what goes in the Euroboxes he already owns. The Euroboxes become active storage, the things he accesses weekly. Camera gear, frequently used tech, cables, tools. The cardboard holds the off-season clothes, the spare bedding, the books he's already read, stuff he knows he won't need for a month.
that visual distinction matters more than people realize. A shelf of Euroboxes versus a pile of cardboard in the corner, one says, this is the system, the other says, this is the backlog. It creates a psychological pressure to process the backlog. Every time Daniel walks past that pile, he's reminded that it needs to be dealt with or eliminated.
The elimination pathway is real. If you haven't opened a box in 30 days, do you actually need what's inside? Moving is the best decluttering opportunity most people ever get, and most of us squander it by just shoving things into new containers and pretending we'll deal with it later.
Daniel's already done the hard part. He got rid of the falling apart IKEA boxes during the move. That's the decluttering instinct in action. The 30-day cardboard bridge just extends that instinct into the unpacking phase. Keep the momentum going.
That's one strategy. But I think there's another piece here that Daniel hinted at, the phasing order. He mentioned buying shelving in boxes and rounds. I'd argue the order matters enormously.
Because empty shelves are a commitment device. If Daniel buys one industrial shelving unit now, 200 to 400 shekels, depending on the spec, and loads it with the Euroboxes he already has, the empty shelves create a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum, and so does the human brain. He'll fill those shelves with Euroboxes as he buys them, not with cardboard, because cardboard doesn't belong on industrial shelving. It looks wrong, it sags, it doesn't fit the 60-centimeter depth properly. The shelf itself rejects the wrong container.
That's a surprisingly elegant psychological hack. The shelf enforces the standard.
And it solves the temporary storage problem from the other direction. Instead of asking, what do I put things in while I wait? You ask, where do I put the permanent containers I already have, and how do I make the empty space demand to be filled correctly? The cardboard pile is the overflow. The shelving unit is the destination. Every month, you move 5 or 10 items from the pile to the shelf as you buy more Euroboxes.
5 to 10 Euroboxes per month. At that rate, Daniel's fully transitioned in 3 to 6 months. The cardboard gets recycled as it empties. The shelf fills up. By the time they're ready to buy a home, the entire storage system is already standardized, already packed, already ready to move.
Here's the part that makes me genuinely excited. When they do move into that owned home in 6 to 10 years, the Euroboxes don't need to be repacked. They're already packed. You lift them off the shelf, engage the latches, load them onto the truck, and place them onto the same shelving in the new place. The move becomes a logistics operation, not a packing operation.
That's the dream, isn't it? A move where you don't buy a single cardboard box.
That's the dream. And it's achievable. Daniel's already done the hardest part, which is recognizing the system exists and committing to it. Everything from here is just execution.
The execution is what we'll dig into next. The specific economics, the shelving math, and why the VDA 4500 standard might be the most important thing you've never heard of for your next move.
Before we get into the execution, let's actually define what Daniel's bought into. The Eurobox system, properly called the VDA 4500 standard, is a German industrial spec that started in automotive logistics. Think BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen moving engine components through their supply chains. The base footprint is 600 by 400 millimeters. That's the magic number.
600 by 400, which is oddly specific until you realize it's designed to fit perfectly on a Euro pallet. 1200 by 800. You can fit exactly 4 Euro boxes on one pallet with zero wasted space.
And that's not an accident. The entire European logistics infrastructure is built around that pallet dimension. Warehouses, trucks, forklifts, racking systems, they all assume 1200 by 800. The Eurobox is the smallest building block in that system. It's the pixel, if you will, of European freight.
Daniel's not buying a storage bin. He's buying a pixel.
He's buying a pixel. And the pixel comes in standardized heights. The 22-centimeter and 34-centimeter variants he mentioned are the workhorses. There's also a 12-centimeter shallow version and a 43-centimeter deep version. But for home storage, 22 and 34 cover almost everything. The 22 is perfect for cables, tools, paperwork, camera accessories. The 34 handles bulkier items, clothing, bedding, larger equipment.
They all share the same footprint, so they stack regardless of height. A 22 sits perfectly on a 34, which sits on another 22. The lid design is identical across the range.
That's the modularity. And the lids aren't just covers, they have interlocking lugs that mate with the base of the box above. When Daniel says they lock in a satisfying way, he's describing a mechanical interlock that turns a stack of individual boxes into a single rigid column. You can't knock the top box off without deliberately unlatching it. That's what saved his gear when the IKEA boxes disintegrated on the pavement.
We've got an industrial standard. Modular stacking, mechanical interlock, injection molded polypropylene rated for thousands of cycles. And Daniel's looking at 100 to 150 shekels per box and thinking, that's a lot for a plastic bin.
It is a lot. But it's not a plastic bin. A plastic bin from the hardware store is probably blow-molded polyethylene. Cheaper tooling, looser tolerances, no interlock, no pallet compatibility, no standard footprint. It's designed to sit on a shelf at home center and look useful. A Eurobox is designed to move engine blocks through a just-in-time supply chain for a decade. Different product category entirely.
Which brings us to Daniel's actual problem. He's sold on the system. His wife's designing shelving around it. But they just paid for a move they're renting, and they're 10 to 30 boxes short. At 150 shekels, a pop for the 34 centimeter ones, that's anywhere from 1500 to 4500 shekels, just to finish the box fleet.
The shelving isn't trivial. Industrial shelving rated for that kind of weight, we're talking 200 to 400 shekels per unit, and he'll probably need multiple units. This is a multi-thousand shekel project, and he's trying to do it while also buying furniture, possibly appliances, all the things you need when you move into a new place.
The tension is real. He knows the system is superior. He knows the lifetime economics make sense. Break even at move number 2, and he's definitely moving at least once more. But knowing the math works over 10 years doesn't make 4,000 shekels appear in your checking account today.
That's what this episode is really about. It's not, are your boxes good? We've established that. It's, how do you transition from a disposable storage model to an industrial standard one when you're budget constrained and renting? The temporary storage gap Daniel described, that's the crux. He's emptying old cardboard boxes, he doesn't have enough Euro boxes to repack everything, and he needs something to hold the overflow for 6 to 12 months while he phases in the permanent system.
The something can't be random. Whatever he uses now either has to be disposable after a single use, or it has to be compatible with the VDA 4500 standard. There's no middle ground. If he buys the wrong temporary container, he creates double handling, unpacking from cardboard into a wrong-sized bin, then repacking into Euroboxes later. That's the efficiency killer.
Double handling is the enemy. In logistics, every time you touch an item without moving it closer to its destination, you're losing money. Same principle applies to home storage. Daniel's already touching everything once during the unpack. If he puts things into a container that won't work with the final system, he's guaranteeing he'll have to touch everything again. That's not a bridge, that's a loop.
He's got a young son, a job, a wife, who's an architect with her own projects. Nobody has time to pack the same box of cables 3 times.
The question sharpens. What's the temporary container that either disappears when it's done or integrates seamlessly with the Eurobox standard? And how do you phase the purchases so you're not eating ramen for 6 months to afford plastic boxes?
That's the puzzle Daniel handed us, and I think the answer is more interesting than just buy fewer boxes, because the phasing strategy and the temporary storage strategy have to work together. They're not separate problems.
Let's start with the economics, because the numbers tell a story most people don't run. A cardboard moving box in Israel runs 5 to 15 shekels, depending on size and source. For a 2-bedroom apartment move, you might need 40 to 60 boxes. That's somewhere between 200 and 900 shekels for a single-use container fleet that ends up in the recycling bin, or shattered on the pavement, within a week.
Daniel already paid that cost for this move. Some of those boxes didn't even survive the move itself. The IKEA ones that hit the pavement? That's money literally broken on the ground.
So now run the Eurobox math. A full system for a 2-bedroom apartment, let's say 40 to 50 boxes, mix of 22 and 34 centimeter heights at 100 to 150 shekels each. That's 4,000 to 6,000 shekels just for the boxes. Add shelving at 200 to 400 per unit, maybe 3 or 4 units, and you're looking at a total system cost of 5 to 7,000 shekels.
Which sounds insane if you compare it to 200 shekels of cardboard. But Daniel's not comparing one move to one move. He's comparing one move to 2 moves, minimum. This one and the home purchase in 6 to 10 years.
Two cardboard moves at, conservatively, 500 shekels each is 1,000 shekels. Three moves, because life is unpredictable, is 1,500. And that's assuming no box failures, no lost contents, no emergency runs to the hardware store mid-move for more boxes. The Eurobox system costs 5,000 to 7,000 once. After move number 2, the per move cost is already dropping below cardboard. After move 3, it's a bargain.
Between moves, the cardboard sits in a closet degrading, or gets thrown out because it's taking up space, or gets attacked by humidity. The Euroboxes are actively working as storage the entire time. They're not a moving expense. They're a storage investment that also happens to make moving trivial.
That's the reframe. Most people budget for moving boxes as a sunk cost. You spend the money, you use them once, they're gone. Euroboxes flip that, they're an asset, they hold value. If Daniel ever decided to sell them, there's a secondary market. Try selling used cardboard boxes.
I've seen people try. It's not dignified.
Let's talk about why they cost what they cost, because the price tag isn't arbitrary. These are injection molded in steel tools that cost hundreds of thousands of euros to produce. The polypropylene is usually glass fiber reinforced for rigidity. The tolerances on the latching mechanisms have to be tight enough that a stack of 6 full boxes doesn't wobble when a forklift hits a bump at speed. This is automotive supply chain engineering, not consumer product design.
When Daniel's loading camera gear into a 34-centimeter Eurobox on a platform trolley, he's benefiting from engineering that was designed to protect cylinder heads moving between Stuttgart and Munich.
That's the hidden cost of cardboard that nobody calculates. Daniel's IKEA boxes fell off the trolley and shattered. What was in them? He mentioned videography gear. A single damaged lens could cost more than his entire Eurobox fleet. The box isn't just a container, it's insurance. Cardboard provides approximately zero impact protection once it's wet, overloaded, or stacked unevenly. Euroboxes with latches engaged create a rigid column where the load is distributed through the box walls, not the contents.
That's the part I think most people miss. When you stack cardboard boxes, the weight of the top boxes rests on the contents of the bottom boxes. When you stack Euroboxes with latches engaged, the weight travels through the polypropylene walls and rims. The stuff inside isn't load-bearing.
And that's why automotive supply chains use them. You can stack engine blocks 6 high, and the bottom box isn't crushed because the structural load bypasses the contents entirely. Daniel's camera gear isn't holding up the stack, the box is.
Which brings us to the other thing Daniel mentioned that I think is the real strategic insight here. His wife is designing shelving to 60 centimeter depth. That's not a random number.
It's the Eurobox standard. A 600 by 400 millimeter box sits perfectly on a 60 centimeter deep shelf with the 400 millimeter side facing out. That means you can fit 3 boxes across a standard 120 centimeter shelving unit. Zero wasted space. No overhang, no awkward gaps, no dust-collecting dead zones.
She's an architect. She's not thinking about what fits on this shelf I already own. She's thinking about what shelf dimension makes the storage system disappear into the architecture of the room.
That's the difference between buying containers and designing a storage system. Most people do the first. They buy bins that sort of fit the shelves they already have, and they end up with a hodgepodge. Daniel and his wife are doing the second. They're setting a dimensional standard and then building the room around it. The 60 centimeter depth isn't a constraint. It's the specification that makes everything else possible.
Once that shelving exists, it's permanent in the useful sense, not the structural sense. They can take it with them when they move, or they can leave it, and know that any future shelving they buy to the same 60 centimeter depth will work identically. The standard outlasts the apartment.
That's the infrastructure mindset. You don't build roads for one car, you build them so any car can use them. The VDA 4500 standard is the road, the Euroboxes are the cars, the shelving is the garage. Daniel's not buying boxes, he's building a logistics system that will survive his next move, his next apartment, and probably his next decade.
His wife gets that intuitively because architecture is the discipline of designing systems that people inhabit. She's not just picking shelf depths, she's specifying the dimensional language their home will speak for the next 10 years.
Which is why the temporary storage question is so delicate. You can't just throw things into random bins for 6 months when the end state is this carefully designed. Every temporary decision either moves you toward the standard or away from it. There's no neutral ground. Let's talk about the hardware store bin trap, because it's the mistake I see people make constantly. You're in the new place. You're overwhelmed. You drive to Home Center and grab a stack of 30-shekel plastic bins because they're right there and they feel like progress. But those bins don't conform to VDA 4500. The footprint is wrong. Maybe 40 by 50 centimeters, maybe 35 by 45. The lids don't interlock. The plastic is thinner. The rims flex under load. A year from now, Daniel's shelving is built to 60 centimeters deep for Euroboxes, and none of those bins fit properly. They overhang, they waste shelf space, they don't stack securely. He's repacking everything. That's double handling, and double handling is the enemy.
The cost of those hardware store bins isn't nothing. 30 to 50 shekels each. If he buys 20 of them as a stopgap, that's 600 to 1,000 shekels spent on containers that have zero future in his system. That money could have bought 6 to 10 actual Euroboxes.
It's a dead-end investment. Every shekel you spend on a non-standard container is a shekel you can't spend on the standard container. And the worst part is the psychological effect. Once you've bought 20 bins, you feel committed to them. You've sunk cost yourself into the wrong system.
The bridge has to be something you're willing to walk away from. That's why Daniel's own suggestion, buying new cardboard boxes while already living in the new place, isn't as absurd as it sounds. Cardboard is cheap, it's standardized enough to stack, and you feel zero loyalty to it. When it's done, it's recycling. No sunk cost fallacy, no temptation to keep using it.
The key is giving the cardboard a hard expiration date. I'd say 30 days. Write an unpack by date on every box with a marker. If that date passes and the box is still sealed, the stuff inside isn't part of your daily life, and you should seriously consider whether you need it at all. Donate it, sell it, or if it's seasonal. Winter coats, holiday decorations, move it to a Eurobox and label it properly.
The 30-day rule turns cardboard from a crutch into a diagnostic tool. It tells you what you actually use versus what you're just storing out of inertia.
It creates a forcing function. Every time you walk past that pile of dated cardboard, you see the clock ticking. It's uncomfortable in a productive way. Most people's storage problems aren't container problems, they're volume problems. They're keeping things they don't need in containers they don't like. The 30-day rule attacks the volume problem first.
Daniel's already shown he can do this. He got rid of the falling apart IKEA boxes during the move. That's the decluttering muscle. The 30-day cardboard bridge just keeps that muscle working through the unpacking phase, instead of letting it atrophy the moment the furniture is in place.
Now the second piece, and this works alongside the cardboard bridge, is how you use the Euroboxes you already own. Daniel has some. Not enough for everything, but enough to be strategic. Those Euroboxes should become active storage. The things you access weekly. Camera gear, cables, tools, frequently used tech. Put those in the Euroboxes on whatever shelving or surface you have now. Everything else. The off-season clothes, the spare bedding, the books you've read and might not reread, goes in the dated cardboard stacked in a single corner of one room.
Not spread throughout the apartment.
The visual distinction matters enormously. A shelf of Euroboxes versus a single pile of cardboard in one corner, your brain reads those differently. The shelf says, this is the system, this is permanent, this is done. The pile says, this is the backlog, this is temporary, this needs to be processed. If you scatter cardboard around the apartment, it blends into the background and becomes permanent by accident.
The pile in the corner is a visual commitment device. You can't ignore it. Every time you walk past, it asks you a question. Have you bought this month's Euroboxes yet?
Which brings us to the phasing order. Daniel mentioned buying shelving and boxes in rounds. I want to make a specific case for shelving first, boxes second. Buy one industrial shelving unit now. 200 to 400 shekels. Assemble it, bolt it to the wall if you're being safety conscious, and load it with the Euroboxes you already own. The empty shelves, and there will be empty shelves, create a vacuum. They're visibly waiting for Euroboxes. They won't accept cardboard gracefully. Cardboard sags on industrial shelving. It doesn't fit the 60 centimeter depth. It looks wrong. The shelf itself rejects the wrong container.
The shelf enforces the standard without you having to think about it.
Every month, you buy 5 to 10 more Euroboxes. You move items from the cardboard pile into the new boxes onto the shelf. The cardboard empties, you recycle it. The shelf fills. In 3 to 6 months, the pile is gone, the shelf is full, and you haven't bought a single container that doesn't work with your permanent system.
5 to 10 boxes a month at 100 to 150 shekels each. That's 500 to 1500 shekels a month. manageable if you're spreading it out.
Here's the thing Daniel should remember. Every Eurobox he buys now is a box he doesn't buy for the next move. When they buy that home in 6 to 10 years, the move isn't a packing operation, it's a logistics operation. You lift the Euroboxes off the shelf, engage the latches, load them onto the truck, and place them onto the same shelving in the new place. Zero new box purchases. Zero pavement shatterings.
The move becomes a single day of transport, not a week of packing and a week of unpacking. That's the payoff for the phased investment now.
The cardboard bridge, the 30-day boxes, the corner pile, the active versus inactive distinction. That's what makes the phasing possible. Without it, Daniel's living out of half-unpacked chaos for 6 months, and his wife, the architect, is looking at a living room that resembles a shipping depot. With it, there's a system from day one, even if the system isn't fully built out yet, which means we can boil this down to four things Daniel, and anyone in his position, can do starting tonight.
Not when the budget allows, or after we've recovered from the move.
Number one, by shelving first, boxes second. One industrial shelving unit now. Load it with the Euroboxes you already own. The empty shelves will stare at you until you fill them with the right containers. That's the point. The shelf is the commitment device.
It's the cheapest part of the system. 200 to 400 shekels gets you the skeleton. The boxes fill it in over time.
Number two, cardboard as a 30-day container only. Every box gets an unpack by date written on it in marker. If it's still sealed after 30 days, the contents go, donate, sell, or if it's seasonal, promote it to a Eurobox. But the cardboard doesn't get to stay.
The date is what makes it work. Without the date, it's just a pile. With the date, it's a deadline.
Number 3. Phase purchases at 5 to 10 Euroboxes per month. At that rate, you have a full system in 3 to 6 months. The cardboard pile shrinks, the shelving fills, and you never buy another moving box again. For the rest of your life.
5 to 10 boxes a month is 500 to 1500 shekels. That's real money, but it's spread over half a year, and every box is a permanent asset. After month 6, the budget line item disappears.
Number 4. Design your shelf into the 60cm Eurobox depth now, even though you're renting. Daniel's wife is already doing this. She's an architect. She's planning decorative facades with doors for the living room so the industrial standard hides behind the aesthetic. You don't have to live in a warehouse to benefit from warehouse logistics.
That's the part I find elegant. The dimensional standard is invisible behind a well-designed door. Guests see a beautiful built-in cabinet. You know it fits exactly 4 Euroboxes per shelf with zero wasted space.
When you move, the boxes come with you, the shelving might stay or go, but the standard travels. The next shelving you buy, in the home you own, is built to the same 60cm depth. Continuity across apartments, across decades.
The four moves are shelving first, 30-day cardboard, 5 to 10 boxes a month, and build to the standard now. That's the bridge. That's how you get from a shattered IKEA box on the pavement to a logistics system that outlasts your mortgage. Where does this leave us? Is the Eurobox system going to become the de facto home storage standard, or is it destined to remain a niche obsession for logistics nerds and architects married to architects?
I think we're at an inflection point, actually. The VDA 4500 standard has been around for decades in industry, but the consumer discovery curve is accelerating. IKEA already produces shelving units that are compatible with the 600 by 400 footprint, not by accident, but because the standard is leaking out of warehouses and into living rooms. As more people go through a brutal move like Daniel's and start searching for something better, the demand side grows.
The supply side follows. Right now, Euroboxes are priced for industrial buyers who order by the pallet. If consumer adoption hits a threshold, someone's going to start selling direct to consumer at scale, and those 100 to 150 shekel prices start dropping.
The infrastructure is already there. The tooling exists. The logistics chains exist. It's not like someone needs to invent a new standard. The standard is proven, it's global, and it's been battle-tested in automotive supply chains for 40 years. The only question is whether consumers realize that the best home storage system was hiding in a BMW parts depot this whole time.
Daniel's wife designing decorative facades around 60cm shelving. That's the missing piece, isn't it? The industrial aesthetic is the barrier for most people. Nobody wants their living room to look like a distribution center. But once you show that the standard can hide behind doors, behind millwork, behind anything an architect can dream up, the objection evaporates.
The box disappears. What's left is just good storage that happens to be built on a dimension that the entire European logistics infrastructure already agrees on. That's the quiet revolution here, not that.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.